Sorry. Put some sugar in there.
You want?
Yeah, it's fine. It's good. Great. About to begin a new topic, which is a rather large topic and somewhat of a difficult topic. We'll try to see what as we could do justice as best as possible to the topic. And that is the halachas concerning ribbis. So let's just get a little bit of a background, a little bit of an introduction to some of the surim of ribbis, just to, before we're able to actually apply it to modern-day scenarios, just to really get the ABCs in terms of what ribbis is all about. So when we speak about ribbis, so the first thing we have to always ask ourselves, are we dealing with an issa d'oraisa or an issa d'rabbanan? So those who learned a little bit in Perek Ezer Neshech, the fifth perek above Metzia, where most of these halachas appear. So it's quite clear from the very beginning that sometimes ribbis, sometimes the taking of interest is a prohibition in the Torah, and sometimes the taking of interest is only a prohibition in the d'rabbanan. Not every issa that's called ribbis is by definition called an issa d'oraisa. Why does it matter to us whether it's ribbis derais or ribbis derabanan? And we try to observe all the mitzvah Torah. So we'll see as we go on that there are some very, very real differences. There are differences in terms of if after the fact the person received the ribbis, whether he has to return the ribbis. There are differences whether it's an issa derais or an issa derabanan. There are differences in terms of certain individuals are exempt from the halachas of ribbis, which are only ribbis derabanan. Sometimes when shailas arise in ukas ribbis, how machmer we have to be. We have to be a little bit more machmer, obviously, on shailas of ribbis derais rather than ribbis derabanan. So it's important for us to always point out as we go through, hopefully over the next couple of weeks or months or years, depending how long this topic takes. So this is the first time that I formally gave shiurim on ribbis, so that's why I don't really have an idea as to how long it's going to take. It's a tefillin I've given in the past, but this is somewhat new for me as well, so we'll see how long this takes us. So whenever we touch on whether something is a ribbis derais or a ribbis derabanan problem, we'll try to always point out to highlight that difference, because it is important for several nafkaminas levinim. So the first issue that comes up, just in terms of defining what's considered to be ribbis derais and what's considered to be ribbis derabanan, is a term that the Gemara uses many, many different places. That's what's called ribbis ketzutza. Ribbis ketzutza is usually synonymous with ribbis derais. So what does the term ribbis ketzutza mean? So lakuz laktzotz means to set a certain amount. That means that the ribbis is set into the deal itself, that we know from the beginning, and we'll see what that means exactly in a moment, what it means from the beginning, but we know from in a sense from day one that we have a ribbis issue over here, which means as follows. Classic ribbis deraisa, this classic ribbis ketzutza means I lend you $100, and I say to you, I'm lending you this $100 on the condition that you're going to pay me back $120. So that's ribbis ketzutza. We rekotzeitz a certain amount. We rekotzeitz, we designated $20 as going to be the ribbis payment. That's classic ribbis ketzutza. Or even if we didn't specify how much it's going to be, we specified a certain percentage. That's also considered to be ribbis ketzutza. So if I lend you $100 and I say, $100 is due at the end of the month, and then for every time that you keep on delaying, it's going to be 5% or something. So that's also considered to be ribbis ketzutza. We're setting amount, we're setting in stone a certain amount, either literally an amount or a percentage amount. That's considered to be ribbis ketzutza. In contrast to ribbis ketzutza, are all kind of different deals that come up, which end up, after the fact, to be ribbis. Let's say, for argument's sake, I lend you $100, and I make an agreement with you, I'm lending you $100, you pay me back $100, that's it. That's what the ketzutza is. That's okay, 100 for 100. But then, during the course of the next couple of weeks, you decide to give me a present, you decide to add me something else, you decide to let me live in your house, whatever, different kinds of tovos, so different kinds of scenarios that play themselves out that were not really incorporated, they weren't b'toras ketzitza, so all of those are considered to be avak ribbis. Those are all considered to be literally like the dust of ribbis. Those are all considered to be ribbis derabanan, but again, different nafkaminas ladina. So that's a first basic question we have to always ask ourselves, are we dealing with ribbis ketzitza, which is the araisa, or are we dealing with something which is not ribbis ketzitza, so which would only be avak ribbis, which would only be midirabanan. There is a major machlekes harishonim as to how to define precisely that term ribbis ketzutza. What exactly do the words mean? So the Rambam in Uchas Mavav Aloiva writes that the definition of ribis ketzutza means it has to be ketzutza b'shas halva'a. It means at the time that the loan actually begins, we have to set up the terms and the agreements of how much ribis is going to be paid. Anything short of that, the Rambam says, is not considered to be ribis ketzutza. So therefore, according to the Rambam, what would the halacha be as follows? I lend you $100 on the condition that you pay me back $100. That's it. There's no strings attached, no ribis, no nothing. And then it comes time to pay back the loan. The shas ha'piron comes, and you start hemming and hawing. You don't really have the money anymore. You want an extension of the loan. So I say to you, okay, fine. I'll be nice. I'll give you an extension on the loan on the condition that when you pay me back, you pay me back 120 instead of 100. So the Rambam says that's not called ribis ketzutza. Yes?
Why is it not a second loan?
Oh, that you hold like the Ravid. You must be a Google from the Ravid. So we have to hold on 1 second. So comes the Rambam and says, I was just kidding. So comes the Rambam and says that ketzutza has to be not just ketzutza. It's not enough that it be a set amount. Not enough that we put a number amount in the ribis, but it has to be ketzutza mishas halva. And if it's not ketzutza mishas halva, then all the chumras of ribis ketzutza are not going to apply. How in the world did the Rambam know that this is true? So the Rambam says a pasuk chumash. It says as kas b'chal lo sita lo b'neshech. The Torah describes the shas anesina. The Torah describes the time of the halva. That's the only moment of time that really matters. And the Ravid, as we just pointed out, disagrees with the Rambam. The Ravid says no. The Ravid says that if you create ketzutza v'shas ha-piraon, so the piraon becomes like a new shas alva. So it comes time, you're supposed to pay back the debt on July 1st. You come to me and I say, listen, I don't have the money. I can't pay right now. So I give you an extension. So the Ravid says an extension of the loan. It's like a new alva. So that's vital, considered to be a ketzutza v'shas alva. So the Ravid says that the Rambam's application, the Rambam's chiluk between the shas alva, not a shas alva, is artificial because every shas piraon, by definition, is transformed to become a new shas alva. So this is the machlekes of Rishon, machlekes of Poskim Mahalocha. We generally are machmer in the shas. The shas of the araisa, the suffik the araisa, probably most of the Rishonim held like the Ravid. It's a simple pshat in the Gemara like the Ravid. So that's the case. And then we may very well have on our hands a question of ribis ketzutza, even if nothing was spelled down in the original contract. But if something is later on niktzatz into the deal, ibishas alva, bishas. If you're wrong, that's considered to be a new shas alva. Yeah, oh, we're going to get that. We're going to get that in a second. When we speak about ribis d'araisa and ribis d'rabbanon, so it's critical for us to point out who exactly is involved in these yisum of ribis. So, of course, first and foremost, the issue is on the malva. That's no question. The Torah says many places, it's kaspecha l'sita l'b'neshech, of ribis marbis l'sita n'achlecha. Neshech and ribis are two terms that are used interchangeably. The Gemara at the beginning of the fifth paragraph of Metziah says that they mean the exact same thing. Even though the Gemara tries and drays to try to figure out maybe there's a difference between them, the Gemara says, at the end of the day, they all mean the same thing. So the Torah uses usually the word neshech. And colloquially, we use the word ribis, but basically it means the same. So there's no question that the malva is in violation of an issur of ribis. But here the Torah tells us a chiddush that not only is the malva, not only is the person who's collecting the ribis in violation, the person who's paying the ribis is in violation as well. The Torah prohibits explicitly for the loveh, for the borrower, to pay the ribis. This is fundamentally different from other areas of Dinei Mamonos. In most areas of Dinei Mamonos, in most monetary halacha, so if the parties agree, they can do whatever they want. Let's say I want to sell you something for that really the real price is $100. I want to charge you $400 for it. So if I say to you, well, listen, it's only worth $100. I'm not cheating you. I'm not tricking you. But I want $400. So if you want to go along with the deal, so good night, do whatever you want. If I sell you something that's really worth $100 and I misrepresent the price and I overcharge you, so that's an issa d'araisa of ono. That's a form of stealing. But if you agree, so you agree. Well, let's say if I break your window, the Torah says I break your window, I have to pay $100. And you're Michael on $100. You could be Michael. You could forego your rights at $100 in the realm of Dina Mamonis. So if both parties agree, so then fine. So it saves time to debate. It doesn't have to be judged the case. But ribis is the exception to the rule. Ribis is an area of halacha where the Torah says you can't forego the rights. And the lova can say, listen, I want to volunteer to pay the ribis. You're not allowed to do that. The Torah says explicitly, lo sashich li'achicha neshech kesem neshech ochel in Parshas Ki Seitzei. So the Gemara derives in Bava Metzia from this pasuk, lo sashich, this comes to tell me that even the lova is muzer. Even the lova is not permitted to voluntarily give the ribis. Even if he agrees, that's still the same issa d'araisa, both on the malva as well as on the lova. So it's clear that the malva and the lova are both included in this issa. But then the Mishnah says in the the end of the fifth parak above Metziah that there are other people who are also involved in this Isser. Anyone who is directly involved in facilitating this loan is in violation of a unique Isser D'oraisa called Lo Sasimun Alav Neshech. In one place, the Torah writes that you're not allowed to set up a loan of interest. Lo Sasimun Alav Neshech. So Lo Sasimun Alav Neshech doesn't only apply to the Malva, to the Lov, it applies to other people who are directly involved in the creation of the loan Beribis. Who are these people who are directly involved? So the Mishnah spells out two different people. One of them are the Edim, one of the set of people are the Edim, because without the Edim, so the loan, the Chara wouldn't be taking place. So the other ones who are mamish creating the loan. And the other one is the Sofer, the person who writes up the document, or today the person who prepares the documents, whoever's involved in the creation of the documents of Ribbis, is in violation of a unique Issa D'oraisa called Lo Sasimun Alav Neshech. So we have a lot of Isurim, a lot of people going on here. The Malva's got his list of Isurim, the Lova's got his list of Isurim, the Edim have their list of Isurim, the Sofer's got his Isurim, a lot of people involved in a serious business here. So then the Malva and Lova are over the Issa. Yeah, the Malva and Lova for sure over, but the Edim are not over them. They're no Edim, they're no Edim. Right. There is a Shaila in the Rishonim, when we speak about the Edim being in violation of Lo Sasimun Alav Neshech, does that apply only to Edim who actually signed on a document? Or does that apply even to Edim Baal Peh? So there were some Rishonim who seem to say that only when they mamash sign on a document, they create a full-fledged document, then and only then are the Edim in violation of Lo Sasimun Alav Neshech. If they're just Edim Baal Peh, maybe not. Another question that, yeah, not going to be too much of Nafka Min Ladina. The bottom line is most loans that are going to have a significant amount of a loan that's going to have a ribbis, a payment attached to it, is going to have some kind of documentation. So anyone who gets involved in any shape or form in either signing the documents or writing up the documents is in violation of this Issa D'oraisa Lo Sasimun Alav Neshech. Then the Mishnah says that not only do all of these people violate their respective Isurim, but everybody who's involved in the ribbis violates another Issa as well, and that's Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. Because there's a general iser to cause somebody else to sin. So if I give you a tray for food, so I'm in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. So the Malva, not only is he in violation of taking ribbis, but he's in violation of causing somebody else to pay the ribbis. So the Malva is in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol because he's causing the Lova to pay the ribbis. The Lova, the person who's borrowing the money, is in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol because he's causing the Malva to accept the ribbis. The Edim are in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol because they're causing the Malva to accept the ribbis and the Lova to pay the ribbis. The Sofer is involved in too. This is not a good situation. If you want to violate 1500 Isurim, go do something more enjoyable than we could get some good cheeseburger or something. This is terrible. This is mamash one iser after another iser after another iser. That's what the Mishnah says. That's the last Mishnah in the fifth parak above Metziah. Mamash lists off and rattles off one lav and another lav and another lav. It's a terrible, terrible business being involved in the ribbis business. Therefore, one should try to stay away from it at all costs. Nevertheless, in terms of pure halacha, even though the Mishnah singles out that the Lova has his particular Averis and the Edim have their particular Averis, and then everybody gets slapped with a Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. So here the Rishonim point out that this is one place where there is a very real distinction between Ribbis D'oraisa and contrast to Ribbis D'rabbanan. Everything that we just mentioned, that everyone's got 500 different Isurim D'oraisa floating around, that only applies for Ribbis D'oraisa. When you have Ribbis D'rabbanan, so then it's obvious by its very definition, there's not going to be any Isurim D'oraisa involved. So what Isurim are going to be violated? What are the Isurim D'rabbanan for Ribbis D'rabbanan? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, whatever the Isurim D'oraisa would have been, so those are the Isurim D'rabbanan. So the Malva has this D'rabbanan, the Lova has this D'rabbanan, the Edim have there. That's what I would have said. So the Rishonim point out from the Gemara that that's not the case. That when it comes to Ribbis D'rabbanan, so the Issa D'rabbanan was only formulated vis-a-vis the Malva. That only the Malva is in violation of Ribbis when he takes the money, the Ribbis. That Isser, that unique Isser of Lo Sashich Li Achicha, that the Lova, the person who borrows the money, has a separate and distinct Isser D'oraisa. Well, that Isser of Lo Sasimun Alav Neshech, that applies to the Edim and to the Sofer and everything, those Isurim were never instituted by Ribbis D'Rabbanan. Ribbis D'Rabbanan was only on the Malva. So does that mean that everyone's allowed to jump onto the bandwagon. If it's ribbis, the rabbanon. So the Rishonim say, no, lift the ever, of course you're in violation. That's no question. Let's say I hand bishalakam to somebody to eat. I hand to somebody muktzah. Well, I don't hand it, but I facilitate somebody doing muktzah on Shabbos. So, of course, I'm in violation of lift the ever, losit and michshal. So anyone who's involved in a ribbis, the rabbanon transaction, may not be over losashich, may not be over losasibul of nashach, may not be over ribistic alochas, but of course they're in violation of lifna evil osita michshol. That was never a question. So you may be wondering, who cares? It's also. We'll see as we go on why this may make a tremendous difference. So this is what just about all the Rishonim and Medayik from the Gemara in Bava Metzia, and the Ramah passes this way halacha. The Ramah writes in the Chos Ribis that this is in fact the case, that all of these surim that we mentioned up until now, that los simul of neshech, los ashech, the lobes is this, the eder of the yisur, sofer is the yisur, all these surim that apply, those surim only apply in ribis deraisa. In ribis derabbanan, the primary issa derabbanan is only on the malveh. Everyone else can do it also, but just because of lifnei iver. So just in case somebody had some good idea in their minds and the wheels were turning, well, it's only ribis derabbanan, we'll figure out a way to make it derabbanan, and it's only lifnei iver, what's so bad, it's only derabbanan. So the Mechas Chinuch has a chiddush. The Mechas Chinuch writes that what is the halacha, forgetting about ribis for a second, what's the halacha by regular Yisurim derabbanan? If I hand bishalakam eggs to somebody to eat, and I cause him in effect to violate Nisa derabbanan, so I violated Lifna Iver. So says the Mechas Chinuch, he thinks that what I violated was Lifna Iver deraisa. How can that be? If the Isser is only Nisa derabbanan, so the Mechas Chinuch says, if I give a person bad advice, I'm also in violation, if I do it intentionally. Sometimes people come for advice, I try my best, but if you intentionally give a person bad, lousy advice, so that's an issa d'arais of lifnei iver losit en michshol, because I'm causing somebody to do something which is detrimental to them. So says the Menachas Chinuch, if I give you treif eggs, even though those eggs are only treif mederabanan, why is that any better than bad advice? It means I gave you something bad. I gave you something which is detrimental for you. So says Menachas Chinuch, the guy who ate the eggs only violated in this derabbanan of eating bishalakam. The guy who gave the eggs, the guy who gave the bad hashkacha, the guy who was machshel the rabbim in the issa derabbanan, so he is in violation of lifnei iver deraisa. So that's a question whether Menachas Chinuch is right or not. But according to that, so that would up the ante here a little bit. That even though we're only dealing with ribis derabbanan, but anyone who's involved in this kind of a transaction may be in violation of a deraisa. They may be in violation of lifnei iver, mamash on the level of deraisa. So again, so we're going to stay far away from ribis deraisa, and we're going to stay not as far away, but pretty far away from ribis derabbanan as well. Is there any nafkamina ladina that we started off by saying that we're going to try to always highlight? Whether something is awesome in the Torah, whether something is awesome in the Rabbanan, does it really matter if at the end of the day I'm not allowed to lend money by Ribbis to Rabbanan? At the end of the day, I'm not allowed to borrow money by Ribbis to Rabbanan. At the end of the day, I can't sign a document on Ribbis to Rabbanan. So my nafkamina, whether it's 15 Isurim, whether 2 Isurim, whether it's Lifnei Iver, my nafkamina. So if we're in the realm of Ribbis to Rabbanan, which only has an Isur of Lifnei Iver on the facilitators, only has an Isur of Lifnei Iver on the Loveh, sometimes Lifnei Iver doesn't apply. And if we can somehow circumvent Lifnei Iver, then we may be in for business. We may be able to, based on what we're going to suggest in a couple of minutes, we may be able to present a possible kula that comes up, a very, very common shilas that come up for people who are involved in ribis transactions. Not people who are actually lending the money themselves, but very often lawyers and other individuals who get involved, who get stuck in situations where there are ribis transactions taking place between two Jews, and they get called in to facilitate, to sign, to work with, whatever the case may be. And l'chora, these are outright violations. Are there any tzedadim, any ways to get around some of these yisurim? So if we're in the realm of ribis deraisa, if what's taking place in front of us is mamish ribis ketsutza, means someone comes to you and says, okay, listen, I'd like you to prepare the documents for me. I'm lending, Mr. Cohen is lending Mr. Levy $100 to receive back $120. So that's mamish ribis ketsutza. There's nothing to discuss. Under no circumstances can a person get involved in that. He cannot sign those documents. He cannot hand over those documents. Nothing, zero. He cannot be involved in any of that. He's mamish in violation of losa simonal of neshech, etc., things of that nature. However, what if, for whatever reason, it's only ribis derabbanan? For whatever reason, it's been knocked down to a situation of ribis derabbanan, which again, as we'll go on over the next few weeks, to always highlight when that is the case. If for whatever technical reason it's only Ribbis Derabbanan, so the Balve for sure can't do it. There's no question. But he's not coming to ask any shilas. I want to know, can I be involved in this transaction? Can I sign a document for this? Can I prepare a document? Is that a problem with Ne'iva or not? So the case is open and shut. Of course it's Lif Ne'iva. If I'm facilitating it, that's called Lif Ne'iva. Well, not so simple. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Daf Vav tells us that Lif Ne'iva only applies in a situation where the person otherwise could not have violated the Avera. So let's say, for example, a person standing in front of a McDonald's, and he could just as easily go into McDonald's himself, and I hand him a cheeseburger. So the Gemara says, that's not Lif Ne'iva. Lif Ne'iva means if he's on a desert island somewhere, and he can't get to the McDonald's, and I toss him over a cheeseburger, so that's called Lif Ne'iva. I'm the one who caused him to be chayte. I was the facilitator of the chayte. That's Lif Ne'iva. But if it's what's called in halacha, chad iver denara, he's on the same side of the river, it means he's standing next to the trefa store, and he can easily go in, that's not Lif Ne'iva. That's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Vav. The context of that Gemara, we spoke about this, I think, in a Shabbos afternoon shiur a couple of months ago. The context of that Gemara is, the Gemara says that a person is not permitted to be machshil somebody in an Aveira, even a non-Jew. I'm allowed to give treif of food to a non-Jew. Bas b'chola may be a different problem, but I'm allowed to give non-kosher food to a non-Jew because they're not obligated to keep kosher. But in an area of halacha that the non-Jew is also required to observe, I'm not permitted to be machshel them. I'm not permitted to facilitate them to an avera. So let's say eva menachai. So I want to have some extra eva menachai lying around. I want to give it to my non-Jewish neighbor. So I'm not allowed to do that. That's called the nisa deraisa of lifna eva lo siten mechshel. Since a non-Jew is not permitted to eat eva menachai, is one of the shev mitzvahs b'nei noach. So the Gemara says that a non-Jew, of course, is not allowed to be Ovid of a Dezara. That's also one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So am I permitted to sell an animal to a non-Jew, knowing full well that he's going to use this animal for Avodah Zarah? So the Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara says in Daf Vav, you're not allowed to do that. If I know that this is what he uses in his sacrificial rite, so I'm facilitating his doing Avodah Zarah, so I'm not allowed to do that. That would be a violation of Lif Ne'iva Lo Siten Mechshel. So the Gemara says, what if he has other animals? The guy's got 100 other cows, but he decides that he doesn't want to use one of his cows. He wants to buy a cow. So then the Gemara says, that's not a problem. That's not called Lif Ne'iver, because Islei Acharina, he has another cow. He can easily do it with his own cow. So I wants to buy a cow. I'm not considered to be the Machshil de Aveir. That's the Gemara Beferish and Avav in Avodah Zarah. So many Rishonim quote this Gemara and say, yeah, that's a bit. That's Takad Halacha. That Lif Ne'iver doesn't apply when it's with Islei Acharina, when he has another easily available. So come a group of Rishonim, the Rosh, the beginning of Masech Shabbos, and other Rishonim say that all that means is that Min HaTorah, it's not considered to be a problem with Lif Ne'iver, but it's still a problem. It's still an Isser of Lif Ne'iver. It's still an Isser Midirabanan of Lif Ne'iver. That's what some Rishonim say. So comes the Shach and says the following yisod. He says, if you look carefully at the Gemaras and the Rishonim, you walk away with the following yisod. Comes the Shach and says, what do you mean there's an Issa Derabban of Lif Ne'iver? Either it is Lif Ne'iver or it's not Lif Ne'iver. What kind of game is that? That it's Lif Ne'iver and Derabban. So the Shach explains what it means is as follows. That there's one Issa called Lif Ne'iver. That means when I personally cause a person to do an Aveira, I am the source of his doing the Aveira. That's the Issa Deraisa of Lif Ne'iver, and that only applies when the person cannot do it otherwise. Then there's a second halacha, a lower level halacha, called the general responsibility to make sure that people are in chote. If I see somebody being chote, I'm supposed to stop them. I'm not supposed to, if I walk by and I see somebody doing something not right, I'm not supposed to wish them a shikoyach. That's what the Gemara says in the end of the fifth parak of Gittin, that if I see somebody working in their field in Shemitah, so I'm not allowed to say, shikoyach, keep up the good work. That's a terrible thing. I'm being machshel someone. I'm not literally being machshel, but I'm being mesayeya in terms of them doing the aveira. I'm assisting them in doing the aveira. So comes the Shach and says, when we're in the realm of Lif Ne'iver, when I'm Amish and the cause of the person doing the Aveira, so that applies to Jews, to non-Jews, that's across the board. I'm not allowed to cause any human being to do something that they're not allowed to do. So I can't give Eva Menachai to the Ben Noach, I can't give Treifus to the Jew, that's out of the question. But if I'm not the cause, what do you mean I'm not the cause? They can do it themselves. So that's not Lif Ne'iver, that's a general requirement, La'afrisha Me'isurim. I'm supposed to make sure that Jews don't do Aveiras as much as I can. I'm supposed to help people and stop people from doing Aveiras. So that secondary halacha only applies between Jews, does not apply from a Jew to a non-Jew. I'm not mechuyev to go stand on the corner and try to convince people, non-Jews, not to eat Eved Menachai. I could stand on the corner and tell people to put on tefillin, but I'm not mechuyev to walk around telling people to stop eating Eved Menachai. Remember, many years ago, there was a Purim spiel that was done. It would show what would the Lubavitcher mitzvah tank look like if they were running after the non-Jews, trying to convince them to do Eshem Mitzvah Bnei Noach. So they had a guy who was walking around, stopping people on the corner and asking them, did you eat Eved Menachai today? So that's, we're not mechuyev to do that. You're not mechuyev to try to stop people from doing Eved Menachai, from doing Gezeil, from doing Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to help them do it. You're not allowed to facilitate them doing it, but you're not mechuyev to stop them from doing it. So the Shach develops this whole Yisoid in Yeridaya that Lifnei Iver D'Araisa, that applies either to a Jew or to a non-Jew, but Lifnei Iver D'Rabbanan, which is not really Lifnei Iver, which is really just the general requirement of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, doesn't apply from a Jew to a non-Jew. That's the Shach Paskins, like this distinction of his in Yeridaya Chelik Beis. So if this is the case, we now want to go one step further. The Shach himself writes that not only does this secondary Lifnei Iver of Chayav Afrisho Me'isurim not apply from a Jew to a non-Jew, but it doesn't apply to a Yisrael Mumer either. It doesn't apply to a Jew who's gone so off the derech, he so doesn't observe anything anymore, such a person is not included in the requirement of La'afrisho Me'isur. Why exactly is that? So the Nedi Yehuda writes on the side of the Shach that he thinks what the Shach is driving at is as follows. The Dinu La'afrisho Me'isur means if there's a remote chance that I'm going to be successful. It means if I see a guy who's basically a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, who's basically in the fold, and I see he's a little bit lax in this, a little bit mazal in this, so then, La'afrisho Me'isur, if I'm able to, I'm supposed to try to convince him, try to help him to become Shomer Torah Mitzvah properly again. But if I see a guy who's mamish b'shrus libe elech, the guy doesn't care anymore, doesn't know anymore, couldn't care less about mitzvahs, so I'm going to go and say to him, oh, by the way, I think you should be putting on tefillin today. It's a joke. Says the Nedi Behuda, if I think that it's not even shayach for the person even in the ballpark of listening, so then I don't have such an achrayis. There is no din of chayav la'afrisho, and therefore, says the Nedi Behuda, I can be quote-unquote machshel him in an Avera also, provided that he has another option for himself. If he has no other way of doing it himself, that's Lifnei Iver D'Araisa, that applies even if he's a guy. But if he has another option of doing it himself, and I quote-unquote machshel him, that's not called machshilo, that's not called Lifnei Iver, that's called not protecting a fellow Jew from doing Averos, not interceding and helping another Jew become frumer, so that doesn't apply if the person is totally, completely not shaykh to listen altogether. So if one takes the Shach, and one takes this Nedi Behuda, and now one wants to apply it, so perhaps one can apply it as follows. What if you have an individual in front of us, he's not a Yisrael Mumer in the sense of that he's a Russia who went off the Derech, who grew up from... God doesn't know anything. Mamish, nothing, zero. I'm going to tell the person who doesn't, never heard of Shabbos, never heard of Kashrus, I'm going to say to him, by the way, you can't sign, you can't give this business loan, you can't be involved in this case, because if you get involved in this case, you're in violation of some din of Ribbis Durabonin. So, good, very nice. He's going to listen to me. He's not gonna, of course, he's going to do it anyway. I'll find another lawyer. So, come some poskim and suggest the following interesting kula. It would be a tremendous kula. That if you're in the realm of Ribbis D'Araisa, which has an Isser of Losa Sibon Olav Neshech on it, anyone who touches this case is an outright violation of an Isser D'Araisa of Losa Sibon Olav Neshech, and forget it. The party's over. Business deal's over. You can't get involved. Q's there. There are two Jews involved. But if it's only Ribbis D'Rabbanan, for some reason, somehow, some kunz, we were able to knock it out of the realm of Ribbis D'Araisa. Again, we have a long way to go to figure out how to do that. But if we could somehow figure out an Eitz HaKunz, how to get it to be only Ribbis D'Rabbanan, so then the Malva is not allowed to take the money. There's no question. But I'm not the Malva. I'm the lawyer. I'm an aide. I'm somewhere involved. I'm helping along the loan. So anyone who helps along a loan with D'Rabbanan, Ribbis D'Rabbanan, is at worst in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. So if the person is a type of a person who, number one, if he doesn't come to me, so go to somebody else. So if I say to him, listen, I can't get involved, I can't help you sign these documents, I can't prepare this loan for you, so he'll go to a yenim, go down the block to the next guy to lend him the money, next person will sign the documents for him. So that's not Lifnei Iver, because he can have somebody else do it. That's not Lifnei Iver D'Araisa. Worse than it is Lifnei Iver D'Rabbanan. So if he's a type of person who's a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, he should know better, and he doesn't know what's going on, or doesn't care what's going on, so then I should stop him and say, listen, Mr. Rabbi, you're not allowed to do this. This is an Isser. This is a terrible thing. You shouldn't be violating Ribbis. But if he's a guy, he never heard of Ribbis, he never heard of Ezer Neshech, Not a Yeshiva guy. He's never learned Dezo Neshech. He never learned Dezo Neshech. He never heard of Ribbis. He never heard of Shabbos. Never heard of the Ribbon Shalom. So you're going to go tell him that, no, I can't sign your documents because it's Ribbis. So the guy will say, I'll get somebody else. And he's not going to listen to me anyway. So according to the Nedev Yehuda's understanding of the Shach, L'chor, that would be okay. There would be a Gevaltige Heter. So again, the Heter would only exist if all of these conditions are present. That it's only Ribbis Derabbanan. We have a long way to go to figure out when that's true. So it's only Ribbis Derabbanan, number one. Number two, the person could just as easily get the loan, get the documents prepared by somebody else. And number three, the person is so added to Parsha, the person is so mufka from any connection to Torah Mitzvahs, that even in the remotest chance in the world, he would ever listen to me if I would tell him not to. All three of those conditions exist. So then you may be able, then there's a possibility of an Edbud and a Shach possibly to rely on. Others say we don't even pass like this Nebuchadnezzar. Others say we don't pass like the Shach. Okay, that's a different story. But if all those conditions are met, then one can begin to discuss this. When we speak about what constitutes Ribbis D'Oraisa, the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia that there are two players who are absolutely critical in order for Nisa D'Oraisa of Ribbis to apply. And the two players are obvious. One is the Malva and one is the Lova. There has to be a person who's lending the money. There has to be a person who's borrowing the money. The Gemara says that Lo Ostra Torah Ela Ribbis Abom Yad Malva Liad Lova. That the only time there's a prohibition of Ribbis at all is only if the Lova is actually giving the money to the Malva. If there are some other people involved in the case, so that's not considered to be Ribbis. It's usually not even Ribbis Derabbanan. What do I mean by that? So the Gemara gives two important examples of this. These shailas really do come up. The Gemara gives two possible permutations. So one permutation is when the Malva received the money, he got extra money, more than he lent out, but he didn't receive it from the Lova. Why didn't he receive it from the Lova? Lova never gave him the money in the first place. I want to borrow $100 from somebody. I know the guy's a tough guy. He's not going to give me a loan for $100. The guy's going to ask me for $120. So what do? So I go to somebody else, and I say to the somebody else, I say, listen, do me a favor, okay? You know that guy. Offer him $20 under the table, so that over the table, there it is. Offer him $20, so that he should lend me $100. So now there are three parties over here. There's a triangle over here. I'm getting the loan of $100. The third person is doing me a tova and giving an extra $20 to the Malva, but the Lova didn't lose anything. I never went down in money. I borrowed $100. I'm paying back $100. Somebody else put up the $20 for me. So the Gemara says that's mutter. That's mutter lechatchila. Lo osra teira el ribis abom yad lova liad malva. As long as the Lova didn't lose the money, so that's okay. Or what about the other flip situation? What if I want to borrow $100 from somebody, and I go to a third person, and I say, listen, I know you're very good friends, you're his guy's cousin, so here, I'm paying you $20, so that you should do me a favor, intercede for me to get me the loan for $100, that I'm going to pay back only $100. So in this case, the Lova lost an extra $20, it cost him $120, but then Malva never got the $20. The Malva only got $100 back. So in both of these scenarios, there was a chisara and there was a lack of the money transferring from the Lova to the Malva. So in one case, the Malva made the extra $20, but the Lova didn't lose anything. In the other case, the Lova lost the extra $20, but the Malva didn't make anything. So if either one of these cases, Lo Ostra Torah El Ribbis Miad Nova Liad Malva. Nevertheless, the Rishonim point out very, very quickly, based on the Gemaras and Kiddush and other sugyas, that these two halachas, even though they're true, could potentially be abused very, very quickly by some under the table handing of money. So what's going to happen? I'm going to say to you, listen, do me a favor. Go, he has $20. Go get the loan from me from Pliny. So what are you going to do? So you're the middleman. You're going to say, I'll take 10 of those bucks, and I'll give $10 to the Malva, and I'll say to the Malva, can you please lend them $100? So I'll make a commission, I'll make $10 on it, and he'll make $10 on it. So the Rishonim say, that's outright usur, because the money went from the Lova to the Malva. It went through the middle guy, but the middle guy was a scam, it was all a farce. The Medvar Mamurim, that these halachas are true, if honest to goodness, the money never changes hands. If the money changes hands and just goes from the money laundering, if it goes to the middle guy just to get around the problem of ribbis, that's absolutely out of the question. But if the money really doesn't change hands, that the Lova gave the money but the Malva never got the money, or the Malva got the money but the Lova never gave the money, so that's not ribbis. Lo Osra Torah the ribbis above me, I love the Malva.
And he says to him,
he's
So that's a problem. I mean, what was a shug? He's a shugging. But that's an issa. Whoever was involved in that game of splitting the money, so clearly violated an issa of ribis. There is another scenario that comes up, which is a very, very common shiloh, which sometimes when people originally see the shiloh, so their initial reaction is that, oh, it sounds like the same thing. That's the following type of a situation. I borrow $100 from you, and we make the following deal. I borrow $100 from you, on the condition I'm going to give you back $100. You're not going to, you're a tzaddik, you said, hello, you would never want to take an extra penny from me. So you say as follows, give me back $100, but do me a favor, take 20 extra dollars and give it to somebody else. Give it to Pliny. Or a more common example of that is, I'm going to lend you $100, give me $100 back, and give $20 to Tzedakah, Tzedakah being the third party over here. So our initial reaction is, Gavaldik, what should be a problem about it? Well, Asher Torah, the Ribbis above me, and the Ovelayan Malve. Since the Lova is not giving the extra $20 to the Malve, he's giving it to a third party, so it sounds like it should be Mutalachetchila. So comes Taisus on the Sugi and says, that is outright Ribbis Deraisa, Belishum Sufik. Why is that Ribbis Deraisa? Says Taisus, that's not at all the same as the cases in the Gemara. In this third case, the Malva and the Lova are talking to one another. The Malva and the Lova are making a specific agreement, and the Malva is saying to the Lova, rather than giving me the money, I want you to give the money to somebody else. So comes Tosus and says, there is a principle in Halacha, what's called Arev. Arev means that means a co-signer on a loan. The Gemara in the very end of Bava Basra tells us that let's say you have three people going to the following arrangement. I want to borrow $100 from you. I don't have the right, the proper credit, whatever. You don't trust me to pay back the $100. So some guy steps to the plate and he co-signs the loan. So what does that co-signer do? What does that Arif do? That Arif says to the Malve, give the money to Pliny and I'll pay you back the loan. And that's binding. That's a Mishnah Bava Basra. Of course that's binding. If I co-sign, if I say, you give the money to Pliny and I'll be responsible to pay you back, I'll be halacha, it's ke'ilu you gave me the money. It means anytime I give out money, I'll pitzivuyo of somebody else. Somebody has commanded me, somebody has directed me to pay money to any other person or any other cause, I'll pidin, it's as if I gave the person the money themselves. So it comes to us and says, you put two and two together. When the Malvis turns to the Lova and he says, I'm hereby lending you $100 with the understanding you're going to give 100 back to me and 20 back to Plony, 20 back to Tzedakah, that's mamish tantamount to saying, give me the extra $20. Anytime I give money to somebody else, a pitzivui of the Malveh, it's ki'ilu I gave the money directly to the Malveh. So the two cases in the Gemara that we said before, the Malveh and Lovin never met each other. They're not talking to each other. I'm under the table with the broker or something. So that's La Osha Torah, La Ribbis Abobi, and the Ovelah and Malveh. But when the Malveh and the Lova initiate the agreement, and the Malveh says to the Lova, give the X amount of Ribbis to somebody else, that's absolutely awesome in HaTorah. So people do this very, very often when it comes to Ribbis and Tzedakos. People do this all the time. I borrow X amount of money from you. I feel bad. I want to give back a little bit of extra. So Ribbis. So the guy says, don't worry. Don't give me the money. Give the money to Tzedakah. So give the money to tzedakah, that's terrible. It's wonderful to give tzedakah, but not to give ribbis money to tzedakah. So that could mamish be an issa deraisa potentially, based on this din of arev. So this shaila mamish came to maisa. It happens fairly common. Somebody asked me a shaila about 2 weeks ago or so, which lefinias daiti was an absolute application of this tosis of ribbis ayde arev. The shaila was as follows, that somebody wanted to take out a bank loan, a second mortgage, whatever the details of don't really matter, but he wanted to take out a loan from a bank, but the person wasn't eligible for the loan. So his father stepped up to the plate. So his father said, okay, I'll take out the loan on my name, and I'll take out the loan, and then I'll give you the money, and you'll be responsible for the loan. So what do you mean you'll be responsible for the loan? That becomes very, very tricky. It means the father's taking out the loan. It's in his name. So the father is borrowing $50,000 from the bank. So now what the father is doing by borrowing $50,000 from the bank, the father is now lending that $50,000 to the son. And he tells the son, you make the payments. It means I'm not going to make the payments. You make the mortgage payments. So I'm lending you the $50,000. You now have to pay back these $50,000, but halavai, it should be $50,000. $50,000 plus another $15,000 for ribbis. So what's going on over here? So what's really happening is that the father took out one loan from the bank. Now the father is lending $50,000 to the son and saying to the son, I want you to pay me back that $50,000. How? Pay back the $50,000 by writing the checks to the bank, because the loan is on my name, but also pay the ribbis. The father doesn't want to pay the ribbis. The father wants the son to pay the ribbis. So the father is telling the son to pay me back $50,000. In addition to the $50,000, pay back to me. Not literally to me, but it's based on Arif, it's Ke'ili paying to me, pay me back another $15,000 to the bank. So I told this individual that I think this is, it's Pasha, this is Mamash Ribis D'Oraisa. This is exactly what Tosa says is Asra Min HaTorah, even though at first glance when you look at it, it sounds like, this is great, what's the problem? Well, Asra Ribis Ribis Abom Yad Le'ol HaMalva, if you think about it a little bit more, so it's not, it is Ribis Abom Yad Le'ol HaMalva based on the principle of Arif. That's also become okay. So co-signing loans becomes very, very complicated. We'll talk about this hopefully as we go on. Mortgages are a little bit better than regular loans. Normally, when a person co-signs a loan, so it's a big we're jumping ahead a couple of weeks. But when a person co-signs a loan, so sometimes the halacha views it as if the co-signer is also in a sense taking out the loan because he's going to be held responsible. A mortgage may be different because normally when the bank wants to collect the money, if they can't collect the money, rather than going after the person's own assets, they're going to take the house away. So that may change the status of so co-signing a mortgage is significantly better than co-signing a regular loan.
And what happens if your first case would have been a credit card and father tells the son that you pay back on time, that's
wonderful, assuming that the son pays back on time. But if the son doesn't pay back on time, so any ribbis payment that the son is making was really a ribbis payment to the father if the credit card's on the father's name. That's a very, very serious problem. Well, what happened? I mean, and if you don't pay back the loan, what's going to happen? They're going to go after your house. They're going to come after you. So they're going to first and foremost go after your house, right? So it's the same as a mortgage, right? Again, but we're jumping the gun a little bit in terms of the details of Arif. So again, so the basic cloud that we did develop is that there is a cloud. That's for sure, but not every case that looks like that is necessarily the case. So in a case where the money is mamash is being laundered, just being handed under the table. So that's for sure also. That was never included in the Hetter of the Gemara in the first place. But when you have other cases where the Malva and the Lova are themselves making the negotiations, so then very often you run into the problem of Arev, which has to be avoided at all costs, because then your mamash is talking about a Shalav Ribis D'Oraisa. Hopefully mentioned next week, we'll continue a little bit on with some other real nafkaminas in terms of this klal of also Torah Ribis the end of the Malva.
Where he said, the guy's a tough guy. I know he's not going to give me the loan for free. So go, do me a favor. Give me 20.